Here we go. This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Play the whole exchange with Tuukka last night, please.
We've been on such a personal played so well. Good little streak here. You know, game like this, you know, we wait for the playoff. We trucked that up to it.
Oh, I thought I played pretty good. Yeah, keep going.
Just so much on the line for you guys.
All right, so stop. We're not taking that out of context. That was the full quote.
No, I don't think that's taken out of context either. I am eager to see what he said next. Just out of curiosity.
Go ahead.
And obviously, they want to beat you. They have another year. Surprised there wasn't more urgency
in the start? Yeah, definitely the first period. You know, they came to play playoff hockey. We didn't. You know, I think those things make a difference this time of year. You know, when other teams are willing to put everything on the line and you're kind of just playing, you know, on your heels a little bit, makes a difference. So, just wasn't our day today.
I don't feel bad for playing that little clip.
Oh, no, we didn't take anything out of context at all. In the interest of fairness, that was fair.
It's totally fair. See, I don't know if Tuukka gets it. There's nights that your team doesn't show up and you bail them out. That's the whole idea of an elite goalie. That's the whole point. The goalie that makes the saves he should make and doesn't make the ones he shouldn't make, well, what's the point? And get a traffic cone to do that or pay someone $2 million to do that. The elite guy goes in, bails your ass out, and then maybe you get a bounce and you go up and momentum changes and you steal one and you get one you shouldn't get. That's the whole deal. And I don't know if Tuukka's that guy. He hasn't been that guy. He's typically not that guy. When things are good in front of him and he's steady and consistent, he makes the saves he should make, and when it all falls apart, he falls apart along with it. So that's traditionally what he's been. And if the Bruins are so good and so much better than everybody else, is he good enough to be a cup winner? Probably is. If things fall apart and they need him to cover their ass, like Tim Thomas did in 2011, like most goalies do at some point in a championship run, is he that guy? We will find out, won't we, local hockey writers? Won't we? DJ, Hurley, Conroy, DuPont, the Boo-Hoo Tuukka crew, Joe McDonald. We're going to find out. Rested, healthy, a great team around him. Favorite pretty much all the way through now. We're going to find out.
I mean, you do get the sense sometimes that when things start to go wrong with him, that he kind of just goes the other way. Like, and again, especially after the other night where he looked like he was ready to throw down. It's just...
Yeah, what happened to that guy?
I know, like, that's why you get excited when you see it. Like, when you see him show that kind of fire, you're like, all right, he's bought in, here you go. Then he gives up a bad goal, and really, I told you last night, I had a problem with every one of them. You know, the one that Hedman got from the point there, the screen, I don't know, you tell me, could Rask have gotten that with his pad? Should he have?
I think he could have fought for it a little bit more. I mean, the guy shot it from the blue line, which I just had to look up, because 64 feet. You know, just watch it again. He doesn't work very hard to get to that far post. He doesn't work very hard to find the puck.
I mean, the first one was absolutely brutal.
Huh.
The Hedman was the second one. The third one, I hated their D in front of him. And on the fourth one, he got beat short side on a 2-on-1 that was never passed. Like, I didn't love any of the goals they gave up last night.
We're going to see on Tuukka. That's all. We're going to see. And we're going to see, again, what defines the elite goalie is saving you, stealing for you, covering your ass. That's the whole point. If they're much better than everybody else and he's winning these games right along with them, then, well, that, you know, great. I hope he does it. But that's not what we're talking about. All right, so there's that. We're mostly Brandon Cook's trade reaction, but we have the Bruins last night, the Celtics last night and tonight, and the Red Sox last night as well. All of it on the table. Bob in Boston on the Pats. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, about the Garoppolo trade. He was 3 months from free agency, right?
Yes.
So I assume the Cleveland Browns would have asked him before trading a first-round pick, are you going to sign with us? You know, can we make a deal with you? And he probably said, there's no way in hell I'm playing in Cleveland.
You understand? Yes, huh? Bob. And the people in Cleveland have already said that they would have offered the Houston first-round pick that they had, that they didn't have reservations about that. They still have rights over Garoppolo. They can franchise him. You know, they're not going to lose him for nothing. So whether Garoppolo wanted to go to Cleveland, or committed to Cleveland or not, the fact is Cleveland has said, on record, that if the Patriots had just picked up the phone, we would have offered them our second first-round pick, which was the Houston pick.
Which is now what?
Number four.
Okay.
So it was
another satisfied customer.
Right answer.
It wasn't number four at the time, right? Deshaun Watson was playing, and it looked like, I think...
They were around 500 at the
they
time.
They were 2-3, I think, at the time that Sashi Brown says he called on the thing. So they were 2-3. But if Watson plays, say they go to 10-6, I mean, I'll even give you that. Well, you're still drafting 20th.
No, that's right.
Yeah, versus 43rd.
No matter how you slice it, they end up in the first round. And they end up with a way better pick than what they got.
They didn't engage the Browns. They didn't engage anybody. Never mind the Browns. They didn't engage anybody. Bill called Shanahan 2 days before the draft and says, do you want him? We'll take your second round pick. And that was it.
He wanted to take care of Jimmy. And he wasn't interested in the return.
And again, just look at the way they handled this. They realized it wasn't going to work long term. They got out ahead of it by a full year. They worked teams before the draft. Not at the draft and not at the trade deadline. Before the draft when the prices are the highest.
And they talked to the Rams for a month.
And they worked their patsy. They found their mark and they worked them. And worked them over, as it turns out. Because to get the 23rd overall pick for this guy, who has 1 year of team control left, is an absolute theft of epic proportions.
I bet you the Rams would have given up a higher pick.
If you kept on him, you keep going. But that's how you trade an asset that you're not going to be with long term. It's obvious. And they didn't do it with Garoppolo, which is frustrating. Here's Steve in New Hampshire on the Sox. Hi, Steve.
Yes, I have a thought on J.D. Martinez. This guy sucks. Last night I'm watching that game, I wanted to rip my TV off the wall. He was the sole reason they gave up their lead, okay? Jackie Bradley Jr. early in the game makes probably one of the nicest defensive plays we'll see all year. For the money that this guy is getting paid, he should have laid out and caught that ball and come up with a face full of turf, okay? He took the easy way out, slid down on his hip because he didn't want to make the dive, okay? It was inexcusable, and I could get past it if this guy was actually hitting home runs or even getting on base. He sucked. He needs to turn it around because I've had it.
I love it. Weekend. We've had it. Is that unfair, Maz?
Don't blame him. Don't blame him. Again, Mookie Betts should have been in right field last night. Like, that's the way I look at it. Now, look, I suppose that puts Martinez in left, but, you know, whatever. To me, like, the idea of having Mookie out of that game last night when you have an off day today, an off day on Friday, and an off day on Monday, and Mookie's not playing? Martinez should have been in the... They both should have been in the lineup for both games of the series. End of story. Jackie Bradley should have been on his ass. I don't care if he made a nice catch in left center field last night or not. It was a single. If it fell, is that going to cost you the game? Stop.
He's 4 of 20 with one extra base hit so far.
There's a double to right center that didn't make the wall.
Mike in the car on the Patriots. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys. Now, Matt, you talk about the team needing to max out while Brady is still around. What did the New Orleans Saints do with a 39-year-old quarterback in the draft last year with two first-round picks, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick?
It's a good point.
They nailed it. So if Belichick nails this draft, he'll be putting the team in a chance to compete with young talent. New Orleans now has a young base of players, and they're still competing with Breeze. So, I mean, I get that you can hammer them to Garoppolo. You can't defend that. They didn't get enough assets. But, I mean, Delger nailed it. They stole a pick from the Rams that they had no business getting. They actually moved. They basically traded a third-round pick to move up 9 picks in a draft, and they got a year out of Cook.
Yeah, I don't care about Brandon Cooks. I'm not telling you that Brady's broken up about Brandon Cooks. I'm talking about the overall philosophy. I've come to the conclusion as to why I'm so irritated by this. You've confounded me. You.
Yep.
You have confounded me.
Yes, sir.
You sitting right there.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
2 weeks ago, didn't you say, well, if you have a 41-year-old quarterback, don't you have to invest in him?
I know, and I said earlier, I had it backwards.
Okay. Then we're good.
Yes. I had it backwards. Well, I mean, look, I mean, what I thought they would do is if you keep Brady, you have to keep Solder, and then you have to keep the pieces around him. And I think what they're doing is saying, no, it's just the opposite, Felger and Maz. If we have the 41-year-old quarterback, we can get away with going young at left tackle. We can get away with building for future assets because Brady will cover up our youth and inexperience and all the things that the shortcomings in the near term.
Okay, and all I'm telling you is that typically when they do this, it takes a couple of years. If you go by 2012, it takes a couple of years. And so that means they're not going to be quite Super Bowl championship caliber.
And we'll see about that.
Okay, so again, I might be wrong. God knows, Bill usually wins.
So look, in a vacuum, they're worse than they were last year. and last year was worse than they were the year before. I believe that totally. And I think they're worse than they were in 2014. I mean, again, look at their roster in 2014, the players they had on defense in 14. The team that won in 16 doesn't compare to that. It got much worse, I think, and then last year was worse than 16. And if I look at the team right now, they're worse than they were. So is there a downward trend on the roster? Yep. I still see them with 12 wins at home in the divisional game against some tomato can, which means we're in the AFC title game, which means that's contending for a Super Bowl. I mean, I still feel that way. And so maybe they feel the same way. And
so, again, you might be right. I'm just telling you that I don't look at it as them getting into the AFC championship game at home and that's good enough.
That's a good start.
Well, but not when Tom Brady's 41. Like, that's the goal now? Like, to me, that's not enough. Sorry, it's not. I would look at the New Orleans Saints season in retrospect and say, disappointment, given how it ended in Minnesota.
They have to start making draft picks. They've punted on the last two drafts. You just can't keep skipping drafts. You've got to feed the bottom of your roster and the youth. And you've got to. You have to. And so I think this is the year they have to do it.
So then you may not get the absolute most out of Brady here in the last couple of years. I'm just telling you to be prepared for that now.
I am prepared.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady drops back with a play fake to Lewis. Stands tall. Throws down the left side for Cooks. It's off his hands and he can't make the catch. He was open. The throw was on his fingertips and he could not hold on.
He's fighting it. I mean, I don't know how more to explain these deep issues that he has downfield when you don't hit him between the 1 and 4.
That was right on his
hands.
What's
the movie? Is it The Replacements? I'm trying to think of the one guy where he's always open downfield and he's got the white gloves on and just it's like you got to hit him in the helmet.
You know you suck when ...
You know you suck when
you make kind, even-keeled Bob Soucy make that sound.
Sorry, it blanked.
Because you have frying pans for hands.
That's when
it's off his hands.
It's off his hands, and he can't make the catch.
I've never heard Bob Soucy raise his voice ever in my life.
Oh no, he was angry.
It's off his hands, and he can't make the catch.
And Bob gets mad. I know Bob gets angry at certain things.
Oh, no, I've heard this, too. He's got a dark side.
He has a little bit of a side.
The dark side associate.
Yeah, but how does that typically sound on a Friday during the season when he says something like, well, I've written it down here, gents, and I wanted to get back at something I heard earlier this season.
Oh, no. I'm talking about off mic.
No, but what I'm telling you is, even off mics, I've never heard him yell. Even when he's quote-unquote angry. I've never heard him... This is like the kid dropped the thing on the floor for the fourth time after he told him to stop playing with it.
It's off his hands and he can't make the catch.
He did. He actually roars there a little, right? That's a little.
It's off his hands.
Well, and that's where it was getting to the point where it felt like, you know, they might lose this game and they're going to lose it because of Brandon Cooks. You little.
So I've never actually heard Soucy yell either, but I've heard from people who have heard him yell. Yeah, it's not a pretty sight.
There it is, Brandon Cooks.
It's off his hands and he can't make the catch.
Writing should have been on the wall when we heard that one. All right, so that's on the board with everything else. Michael Muburn wants to weigh in on Tuukka Rask. Go ahead, Michael.
Man, Soucy just went full Surratt on that, huh?
He did.
Oh, never go full Surratt. Listen, Mike, we've had this discussion before. Tuukka is that next tier down from elite goalie. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay, so what's the problem is my big point here. He has stolen you playoff series in the past. Everybody talks about how he hasn't stolen you playoff games. The Pittsburgh series in 2003 was absolute theft. Sweep, two goals allowed to the best team in the league. He can do it, okay? And the Tim Thomas comparison is ridiculous because I mean Tim Thomas had a great postseason in 2011, no doubt. He was 3-3 in 7-game series. Before that 2011, what were you in particular saying about Tim Thomas?
Sure, Mike, if we're comparing careers, I hear you. But that's what we're talking about. In that particular run, he stole you games. And I'm sorry, I am not giving you Rask in a sweep over the Penguins. How many goals did they score in game two of that? Didn't they win like 7-3 in game two or something like that?
No, the Penguins scored two goals all series.
But the Bruins scored a million in that second game. Either way,
Rask stood on his head in Game 3, which went to two overtimes. I think it was either 2-1 or 1-0. which basically gutted them. He took. It's hard for me to say
a goalie stole you a series when you swept 4-0.
Okay. Well, you know what, Mike? If you want to hold Tuukka to that standard, then look at Tim Thomas in the finals in 2011. Do you know there were 3-1 goal games in 2011 in that finals?
Yeah, and they were all in Vancouver.
Oh, and how many did Tim Thomas win?
None of them, I guess.
None of them, exactly. Okay? If they lose that Game 7, what are we saying about Tim Thomas?
It was a great run. They came up just short.
We're saying that about Tim Thomas? Or are we vilifying Tim Thomas and like talking about how he laid Timbits in his pants for Game 7?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Like, literally, we're talking about a tale of two goalies in that series, because that series wasn't so much about Tim Thomas stealing you games. That series was about Luongo completely dropping a pile every time the Bruins got off to a good start in a game. And Thomas actually, in Game 2 and Game 5, gave up horrifically bad goals late to lose those games.
So, and that's true. That is true. Thomas, even through that run, was not a consistent... People do forget about this, Thomas, in 2011. You went down 0-2 to Montreal, and he kind of sucked.
No, at the beginning, he was shaky, and then when they made the switch at defensive, at defense with Chara and Seidberg together, it changed.
But, I mean, there were some nights there. I mean, I think you lost Game 1 of the Tampa series in the East Finals. They might have scored 7 that night. Like, there was, you had a few really bad nights, and Rask and Thomas had a few really bad nights. So, like... And so this is what the Tuukka crew likes to do. They like to compare Rask's numbers to Thomas's numbers, because Thomas had some bad games in there, and when you average out the numbers, they're probably similar. But Thomas went in and won you games.
I was just going to say, did you watch it?
Go back and watch Game 7 against Tampa, which you won 1-0. And you outshot Tampa by a wide margin. But the whole game was you were peppering, and then Tampa would get a breakaway. And Thomas would stuff him. And you'd pepper, and then Tampa would get a breakaway, and Thomas would stuff him. And there must have been like 3 or 4 breakaways that night. And you just... who was the old fart who was in the Tampa net?
Ralston?
Yeah, it was Ralston. And he was great, too. But Thomas absolutely... I don't know what the numbers looked like. I don't care what his save percentage was that night. I mean, it was perfect, obviously. But I don't know if he got a lot of shots. But they had 3 or 4 breakaways that if he doesn't stand up in each one of those... The whole game changes. The whole thing changes. And he just came through in that spot. I'm sorry. Rask does not have a comparable. And let's just see. I mean, here's his chance. There's no excuse now.
See, what I don't get from Mike and Woburn is this. So what do you want us to do? Go back and change history? They did win it. Okay, they did win it. So you can talk all you want about, well, Thomas had a bag. Fine.
He also pitched a shutout in Game 7 in Vancouver.
I mean, the last time I checked, I shouldn't say this for sure. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a goalie who played 25 games in the postseason and played them all well. Of course they're going to have bad games. What was the aggregate and what was he in the big moments? And I'm sorry, there were some signature moments, like the paddle save against Tampa in Game 5, I think it was, at the Garden. Like, you know, those were... You can't just rewrite history on that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it doesn't fit your narrative, but he won it.
You can't... All I know is... You can't be letting in 62-foot slap shots like last night. And that first one with, again, I'm sorry, I disagree, Jack. I don't think the puck aerodynamically had its nose dip and the air force the nose of the puck down. Did you hear that thing? No, he just whiffed. He just gagged it. And they had a shot to, and again, that's a 0-0 game. The Bruins are getting grossly outplayed. But this is the whole point. Goalie keeps you in it. You get a bounce, now you're up 1-0, and they're talking to themselves, and you get a result that you wouldn't have gotten, and you steal one. That's it. I just think Tuukka in those moments has not been there. And then afterward, he says he plays fine, which is aggravating. But as I like to say, this is not a thing to...
No, I thought I played pretty good.
We're not here to talk about the past. It's all out in front of us. Bruins are going to be a 1 or a 2 seed. They still have an inside track for that first place. They have a game in hand, so that's still within their destiny. He's rested. He's healthy. The team's excellent. No excuses. We will see. It'll be answered for us. There'll be no need to even argue about it anymore, because it's all going to be laid out in front of us. We'll all see it for ourselves.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, can we talk about Tom Brady, please, and his lack of weapons? I mean, now no Danny Amendola, now no Brandon Cooks. What are the Patriots' strategy moving forward, especially now with all these draft picks they have? Maybe weapons for Tom?
Don't forget they get back Julian Edelman. So they have Julian Edelman. They have Chris Hogan. They have Malcolm Mitchell coming back off an injury. They have Rob Gronkowski. There have been some people that had speculated that Rob Gronkowski could be traded. He's not getting traded. Rob Gronkowski's staying in New England, assuming he's going to play, and most people believe that he will. And so there's your foundation right there. Edelman, Hogan, Mitchell, Gronkowski, still better than most teams, but I think the Patriots recognize that they have to still add some more firepower, which is one of the reasons they had Jordan Matthews in there, the former Bills and Eagles wide receiver from a visit yesterday. And again, they'll look around, they'll scan the market. I'm sure they'll add other players, but I think that they feel comfortable right now with the foundation being what it is.
Are you comfortable with the personnel, or are they chipping away too much on offense?
I mean, I wish they had Nate Solder or a better option at left tackle right now, and I wish Danny Amendola was here. So, yeah, I mean, they're chipping away, but too much? I'm not going to miss Brandon Cooks, and Deion Lewis I knew was going to be gone anyway. So, I mean, I don't know if they can afford to lose much more. If Gronk is going to go, then we have some serious problems, but no, I don't think it's anything drastic.
They still have enough, Maz?
Well, yeah, they still have enough right now, but they can't afford to lose much more. I mean, again, if you think, assuming health now, and that's dangerous with the people they've got, but Gronk, Edelman, Malcolm Mitchell, Hogan, they all have injury history, every single one of them. So, you know, they're getting thin, if they're not already. At the same time, if they had Solder right now, wouldn't you feel a hell of a lot better about the whole thing?
Yeah, you'd probably feel better.
Left tackle's a big one, isn't it? That's a big one. Like, the idea that you're going to have some sort of rookie or unproven guy or whatever at left tackle, I mean, I'm willing to see how this one shakes out, but right now, that's a big one.
All right, your phone's here. Here's Eric in Florida. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, I had a quick question for you. So I've been thinking about Deflategate lately, and, you know, I'm a big believer in karma. I know that, you know, ultimately everybody is doing something in the NFL that's kind of getting, you know, bending the rules, so to speak. But what I wanted to know is if you guys think, if it wasn't for this whole Deflategate thing, Garoppolo would still be on the team, whether or not his playing time on the big stage got him into San Francisco in the first place.
I see. So if he hadn't played so well during that suspension, would he have had the market, and would you be able to keep him, or even keep him longer than 4 years or whatever? I don't know. There's no way to put that together.
No, it's a good question, though. It's how much they were willing to offer, right? Like, if they were willing to give him that Brock Osweiler deal and he'd never played it down, but they knew it in practice, I bet he stays. I mean,
but yeah, but I don't think they're offering that kind of money to back up.
Probably not. I mean, but didn't allegedly they offer him like $18 million a year?
Well, that's what Wickersham said, yeah. Or that it was something along the lines of the Osweiler deal. That's true. Yeah.
No, that might not be, you know, straight. Maybe there were incentives in there that would have taken it to that based on playing time, what have you. But if he had never been out there, I don't know. That gets interesting. And so in that way, Deflategate cost you Jimmy Garoppolo? Is that what we're saying?
Well, that's what his point is. So, Maz, you and I have done a little bickering on this topic today, wouldn't you say?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm over it.
No, but there's still, that's bickering small b.
Oh, yeah, no, small b, yeah.
Do you want to hear people bicker about this?
We bicker like a married couple bickers.
No. We bicker like a dating couple. Do you want to hear people bicker like a married couple who hate each other like poison?
Well, see, I would not describe that as a married couple. I would say the people who hate each other get divorced.
Not,
but go ahead.
Not in every case. So if you think we've done some bickering, I give you Jones and Cattles on this topic last night.
Never said Brandon Cooks was a top 10 receiver in the league.
Yeah.
Never did I utter those words.
I feel like it was implied.
No.
You're giving up first round picks now
Jones,
for guys
don't
who
do it. Don't
Nick,
do it.
Why would
you're
going to
give up
a
first
crap.
Round? That's crap.
Crap. Why would you give up a first round pick for a guy who's like
right,
the 15th
so
best receiver in the league?
Can we relive the deal?
It was 32.
Number one.
Keep going. I haven't heard these, but just go ahead.
Oh, it gets better. Go.
You're acting like this was all unexpected.
This is just not going to be a fair conversation, apparently, tonight.
You're acting like the number was unexpected. All this stuff was set in stone.
You haven't let me finish one of my points yet. Not one single point yet.
So
not
stop.
One. Not
just stop. That's a married couple.
Well, that's true.
That's
yeah.
a married. That's,
okay, so that's a good point.
That's what you say when you're married.
In their 70s.
I guess like that's true.
Yeah, when it's been like 40, 50 years of marriage and you're just waiting for the other to die at some point. Like
no. See, I think by that point you've given up. This is like 15 years of marriage where you're still trying to get your point home. You're still, this is 15 years of marriage where you're still under the illusion, the delusion, that she'll understand what you're saying.
Well, then I act like I've been married for 50 years because I gave up a long time ago.
When you get to the real, the point where you just give up, it's like, I'm not going to try and get you to understand this. Right now, Nick Cattles is still under the impression he can get Jones to understand what he's saying. Go ahead.
You're acting like this was all unexpected.
This is just not going to be a fair conversation, apparently, tonight.
You're acting like the number was unexpected. All this stuff was set in stone.
You haven't let me finish one of my points yet. Not one single point yet. Not one.
Just make a point.
No, go to break. We're at the top of the hour. We'll come back. I'll tease it. 90 seconds. I will give you my actual thoughts if you let me actually share them with some of the listeners.
I want to hear it.
It gets better.
I think that last year was a good trade. Think that last year was a good trade, and now this is a good trade. That just feels inconsistent to me.
What do you mean? Why is it inconsistent?
Well, hang on. Let's hear it in 90 seconds.
You can't compute that.
Let's hear it in 90 seconds.
Okay, I will. I'll give it to you in
90
seconds.
It feels very hypocritical.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does.
Very hypocritical.
So Jones is just...
He's impossible.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he is. He's impossible. So he took the 90 seconds and shoved it right back in his face.
But there's a difference between having... $13 million in cap space, and like they had last year, $65 million in cap space. But not for you, because let's not get into the details. Cap space is cap space.
No, the $8.5 million is going to break them. I agree. That $8.5 million is going to break them.
In your world, cap space
cap
is cap
jail.
Space. No, in your world, cap space is cap space. It's all even.
No, I see it now.
And the draft, every single draft. Did you know this, people?
Every single draft,
year in and year out, is exactly the same. So who you could get at 32 one year is the same exact player you can get at 32 the next
pretty
year.
Pretty much. I mean, basically, yes.
I mean, come on. I mean, good luck with that.
So I'm getting it now. So the argument of Cattles is trying to say it was a good trade last year and it's a good trade this year.
Correct.
As usual, I have to go with Jones on this.
Oh, me too. Yeah. See, I think last year was a bad trade. This one is hard to debate.
Oh my God, this one's a slam dunk.
It is amazing. It's a layup. You get a number 23 pick for a soft receiver who's got 1 year left. Bye bye.
Oh my
Adios.
God. But last year, I asked this before. If last year they had just stayed where they were and took a good defensive player, would it all net out better than they are even now?
See, I say yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could make that case. Anyway, the Bickersons.
The Rams are getting 1 year and possibly two if they want to franchise him.
Well, the Patriots only
And they're giving up a better pick. I know. You're rolling your eyes. God forbid. Details. Details is what makes it all. That's the problem.
You do details on your own time there.
Exactly.
Who needs the details?
The problem is details makes the entire story. Details from the changes of last year to this year.
No, details cloud what happened.
And that's a simpleton way to look at it, so that's fine.
I'm a simpleton.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I think my favorite part of that whole thing is Jimmy invoking editorial license.
Nick, I know. You're rolling your eyes. God forbid, details.
Nick, details on your own time.
He doesn't even produce that show. That is beautiful. Oh, that is beautiful. I love it.
But the player is not under the control. He played for one full year at a lot less money. You're not wrapping your head around that.
I get it.
I feel bad for you.
It just doesn't make that much of a difference.
Snowflake,
They're not in cap jail.
I feel bad, Snowflake. I feel bad, buddy. Let's get to the headline. You told me to shut up 2 minutes ago. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Let's get to the headline. I need to tell people everybody lost tonight.
$8.5 million, I guess, is going to break the... I guess.
You're not understanding. That's not the point.
No, I definitely don't understand. I don't.
That's been apparent by this discussion.
Cattles, with all the latest...
It's just exhausting.
No, it is. It is. It's tiring. Yeah,
it's tremendous.
I gotta take a nap just listening to it.
That was six clips of apparently about 30 minutes last night.
Apparently they did. They like blew through breaks like nobody's business.
So that's bickering. Well, it's just, you know, I mean, Jones is the Dark Knight. He is the sports buzzard. He is a beaut, man.
The shadow.
Oh my God. He is unbelievable. And Cattles is a home piece, you know. He's tends to be on that. There's that strain of Patriots fan that a little lacking in humor, a little lacking in sort of being able to make fun of your team or have fun with your team. It's like that humorless Patriot fan. Sorry, Nick, but he is. You know, so you just put that two together. Oh, my goodness.
Let's hear it in 90 seconds.
You can't compute that, man.
He did. He took the 90 seconds and shoved it right up his nose.
Yeah, let's hear it in 90 seconds.
You can't compute that, man.
Let's hear it in 90 seconds.
Okay, I will. I'll give it to you in
90
seconds.
It feels very hypocritical.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does.
Very hypocritical.
So Cattles liked the trade last year, and he likes it this year, too. This is like Rich Keefe saying he didn't like Al Horford, but it's a good move for the Celtics. Maybe it's something to do with the chair.
That's the Rich Keefe paradox.
No, this, with the Rich Keefe paradox, what was it? It was...
Yeah, it was Al Horford.
No, and but it was also the draft. It was like the whole thing. It was the whole Celtics offseason.
Oh, Jaylen Brown, maybe?
Yes. So, you've been ragging on Jaylen Brown, and I'm not... I'm just... This was funny. He's never... Both him and Jones hated Jaylen Brown, right? Hated the pick, hated Jaylen Brown, was ragging on Jaylen Brown the whole thing. They made the pick. They hated the They hated the player going into the draft. They hated when they made the pick. And then they signed Al Horford, and they were all on this about Al Horford was not a max player. He's not a franchise guy. He's not a member of the Big Three. And then I asked him, how was the offseason? He said, pretty good.
That's exactly what it was.
They hated the Jaylen Brown move. They never liked Al Horford, but how was the offseason? It was pretty good. I liked it.
No, I mean, they got two good players.
That's the Jones and Keith paradox. This is someone, we have the baseball reporters coming up at 6, and this guy's been waiting for quite a while, so I don't want to keep him on the line the whole way. Howard in Westwood on a baseball issue. Go ahead, Howard.
Hi, how you doing? I'll be quick. One statement, I don't even want to speak about it. Cole is as dumb as a rock. Move on from there. I want to talk about baseball, slowing down the game. I mean, what they implemented was hardly anything. What they should do, and this would speed up the game by at least a half hour, and I'm sure you'll agree, allow the batters to only step out of the box one time per at-bat.
How about never?
The pitcher has to release the ball within 12 seconds. You know how much that would speed up the game?
Oh, my God.
But it's so unnecessary. They're stepping out of the box, playing with their gloves, like Nomar used to do, for an example. But every one of them steps out of the box and takes about 20 seconds.
Hey, Howard.
Okay, that's one point.
Howard. The first thing you said, you said Alex Cora is dumb as a rock. Did you say
no
that to
question.
Me?
No question.
Based on what? It's been 5 games.
Okay, the first game. We're at 4-0. You got the best pitcher in baseball thereabouts throwing a 4-0 shutout. He only thrown, I believe it was 81 pitches. Now, what happened to this famous 100 pitch count? Okay, they lost the game.
Okay, but they don't. That's an organizational thing. We'll do that later. The pace of play, he raised. What did they do? I thought they had things about mound visits.
Yeah, they do. They've limited the number of mound visits, 6 mound visits per 9.
Have you noticed it?
Did you? Yeah, well, actually, it's come up a couple of times, and I meant to look into this more, and I didn't, so thank you for reminding me. There was one night there where Vasquez went to the mound.
It wasn't last night, because I thought Vasquez was up there every other inning.
No, it must have been Saturday night. Saturday in Tampa. Vasquez went to the mound. The Red Sox had 3 mound visits. Vasquez went to the mound for the 4th, and while he was there, Bogarts ran in to grab the rosin bag, and they charged him with another one. Only the Red Sox could get 2 mound visits on one trip to the mound. Like, I got to go back and find it, but I'm glad you reminded me. Totally screwed the whole thing up. And, you know, allegedly they got the clock for the warm-up now, and everything's a little quicker. I haven't really noticed any significant difference.
The only thing I noticed, you mentioned to me off the air, and you're absolutely right. Boy, does Nesson get out quickly after the final out of the inning, right?
Oh, fast.
Make sure they get in all those 30-second spots, man. O'Brien hasn't called the last out before. They are in the commercial.
I mean, if the ball hits Hanley's glove,
they're out.
He's got 2 seconds to say bye. We'll be back.
But, you know, we don't need to get into this. We've done this a million times. 4 hours and 26 minutes last night in the 6th game of the year. I mean.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you just quickly.
And you know what? I watched most of it.
I'll tell you quickly what my favorite baseball note of the season has been. I was reading about Matt Barnes the other day that, you know, Cora's talking about how he sped up the pace on the mound, and Barnes has made a real effort to do this. Last year, between pitches, 29 seconds. This year, 27. No, he's flying. I mean, don't blink, because you might miss Matt Barnes throwing now.
Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma running right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
You got something over there you wanted to plug? I see you flailing, trying to grab some papers. You want to hit the Best Buddies event? Did you
do
that today?
Stand by.
All right.
Just hold on 1 second, Jim. Just pretend you've asked me to Google something.
Felger, get your papers. Figure out what you need to plug.
Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge, June 1st and 2nd. Register today at TeamTomBrady.com.
All right, so we had the Bickersons. We played some of that audio from last night. But you two kind of went at it. And really, I was confused, too, Maz, when you were talking about how Brady is going to be disappointed going into next year. Because
what were you confused about?
I don't know what the hell you were going at. We'll hear this in this breakdown here.
You know, maybe it's just another thing I've had backwards. That you don't have to keep Nate Solder because you have Tom Brady. You don't have to keep Danny Amendola because you have Tom Brady. Maybe it's just the opposite. You can afford to let those guys go because you have Tom Brady.
Okay, but again, to what end? What are you looking to do? Make the playoffs?
Keep your head above water. Oh, they'll contend for a championship this year, even with all these pieces.
You sure about that?
If they have Brady and Belichick, they will.
Okay.
Coming out of the AFC East with 12 wins and a home game in the divisional round? Yep, that's contending for the Super Bowl.
I mean, the last two times they got to the Super Bowl and lost, they didn't get back there the next year.
So, we'll see. I think
the last time they took two first rounds.
But they contended.
Okay, so again, you think Brady's okay with that? Brady's just okay with getting in the AFC title game?
I'm just telling you, they can put young players around Brady and contend for a championship.
Okay, and do you think that that's what Brady wants?
I think Brady wants to win, but what Brady really wanted was to keep his job. And so they got rid of the kid? I mean, Brady wants a whole raft of other things.
Yeah, but my point is, if Brady's not winning Super Bowls, what's he playing?
To say? Instead of asking me questions, tell me what you're trying to say.
If Brady wants to win championships still, doesn't he?
So you think he's... So what? Tell me.
So if Brady's sticking around, he's sticking around to just make the playoffs?
No, but he doesn't think that way.
How do you know?
I mean, it's no guarantee anyway, Maz. I don't know what you're getting at.
I'm telling you. I
get confused with the questions, too. Yeah.
So Brady wants the best team possible to win a championship. Is he going to get that this year? No. The answer is no.
No, he's not. He's not.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, we've been talking about this for weeks on end about how if you have a quarterback like Brady who is nearing the end and you're running out of time, then you need to put more proven pieces around him, not less.
Okay. They're not doing that.
See, I missed the beginning of what you said, like, maybe I had this all wrong. See, I missed that part.
Yeah.
Acknowledging that your point of view was different 2 weeks ago.
Well, they're just approaching it totally differently than I thought. But I get what they're doing, and it makes sense.
Well, of course. Yeah, no, I get what they're doing, too. I'm just telling you that typically that doesn't win you a Super Bowl. It hasn't won them one here. Not in the short term. It takes a couple of years for those draft picks to become the players that you think they can be.
Well,
I'm just saying.
This, by the way, is the second time this has happened with Mike where he's been a little bit confused.
Okay, so tell me what you know. Let's start with that. Don't just ask a question. Tell me what you know.
With Brandon Cooks gone, out come some of the phone calls with the Patriots fans looking for the Patriots to add a now long-retired wide receiver, which got Mike all mad earlier today.
Tim in Berkeley is going to talk about the exact condition I was just mentioning with Brady. Go ahead, Tim. Who do you want for the Patriots?
I was just wondering, I was talking about maybe Calvin Johnson coming out of retirement and what's the possibility of maybe him landing in New England.
Okay, Tim, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'm not mocking you, but...
He retired 2 years ago. He's not coming back to the NFL.
Let's get Megatron to play with Brady. Whee! He'll take the top off the defense. Whee! This is the exact thing I'm talking about.
It is annoying, though, that people get so obsessed with the receivers. They don't need receivers.
Especially with this quarterback. If you're telling me we have a second-tier quarterback, if we have Derek Carr or someone who's good but not great but needs to be surrounded by talent, then that's one thing. Okay? Then yes. Get me Megatron and all this crap. But you have Brady. He has proven over 18 years that he just needs the guy who's reliable and smart and gets open and catches the ball in the intermediate areas. He does not need to take the top off the defense guy. He does not need it. Does not need it. In fact, can even be kind of a drag. It can be.
If they take a receiver in the first two rounds, unless it's a slot guy late second, I'll be pissed.
Felger and Maz.